Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It's Carl, and with me today, I have Petta Kinnett-Wilson, the founder of Digital Rev, which is a digital project management consultancy and training firm. And I will also tell you that Petta seems to be everywhere because I see UK, Germany, Netherlands, Sweden, USA, Australia. Petta, how do you survive?
Well, hi, first of all. I am very busy. Yes, I've been really lucky that in my training, I've got to meet project managers from all over the world, which has been fantastic. It's actually been really good to understand, how differently project management works and digital project management across different countries. I didn't know I hadn't thought I was everywhere. So it's exciting.
Well, for an American, you're everywhere. You have to appreciate we've kind of holed up for a little while now. So I'm just like, why do I do this? I keep getting political, but I can't help myself. So I'm curious, now you started Digital Rev. How long ago did you start it?
So I started in December 2016, so about 7-8 months ago now. So it's quite fresh.
Wow. And so you're basically, are you training digital PMs or you're consulting with companies on how to establish their project management set up, or tell me what Digital Rev is doing.
So we do two things. One is we are a training firm where basically we do a lot of workshops to teach digital project managers how to develop their soft skills. And it's really about taking project managers from just being managers and turning them into leaders and really focusing on, there's a lot of project managers who are great at making Gantt charts. They know all about processes, methodologies, tools, but they sort of lack some of those bigger things that make them more leadership material in terms of how do you build relationships with people, how do you build high-performing collaborative teams and things like that. So I do a lot of training around that. And then the other thing that Digital Rev does is consultancy, mainly with London agencies at the moment. To help them either with projects that they're running or to help develop their teams and do management for them in newly developed project management teams and agencies, which are sort of grappling with how do I change from being a small agency into a bigger agency that needs process and rigor behind it and things like that. So they're sort of the two main things that Digital Rev does.
So you're located in London. That's where you're based.
Yes.
And I happen to know, I mean, when I had my shop, we were working with companies like Macquarie in Australia. We were working with Siemens in Germany. And one of the things that we realized quickly was the cultural differences in soft skills were immense.
Yes.
And we had to really bridge that gap and get better. When we were managing a project, we had to appreciate some people didn't want small talk and some people were going to be offended if they didn't get it. And so how do you help when you're training based on where that person is located? I mean, you obviously have a lot of experience, but do you brush up on what their cultural norms are?
Yes and no. So as you said, I have been a lot of places and I'm Australian myself. And I've lived in the UK for 7 odd years now. And specifically one of the things I've noticed in the UK is that people are much more polite and they don't like to be as direct about things. So particularly in the UK, I think there's a lot of soft skills training around how do you have a difficult conversation and, how do you be direct and set expectations with people that's going to help them in the long term, even if it's a slightly uncomfortable conversation to begin with right now. And I also spent time in Germany, which is a different level of directness to the Australian. So I've been really lucky actually that I've got to live in a few different places. So I have a good understanding of different cultures and you pick up quite quickly sort of what's acceptable and what's not.
What would you say are some of the common soft skill issues that you've seen?
The biggest one for me, I think, is actually managing people like people. I think in project management, a lot of the metrics we use are around, resource and capacity and budget. And we look at, we want to make X percentage of whatever. That's the objective of the project. Increase sales by X percent, increase leads by X percent. And sometimes, we've got these deadlines that we're working to, and it can start to feel really mechanical and just inhuman. And it's really easy to fall into a trap where you start to treat your team like resource rather than people. So for me, putting people at the heart of how you approach project management is probably the soft skill that I would most like other project managers to sort of take on board. And I think when you do that, you enjoy project management so much more because you get to make really good, deep connections with the team that you work with. But also you get a much better product at the end because people start to feel free to share their ideas, to challenge things, to think about how they can do things better or differently or quicker. And they buy into the success of the project and they buy into the success of their team.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I know that in my experience, if we're working and we work distributed quite a bit, if you had never met the person or never had any type of conversation that was fun, or even it didn't even have to be a laugh. It could just be something that you bonded over, like you both loved a certain type of music or something like that. The work was never very good. People didn't seem to care as much. But as soon as they had a personal connection, they didn't want to let that other person down.
Yeah, exactly. And I was listening to one of your podcasts from a few weeks ago, and one of the guys in there said, whenever we take on new business, we have to have our client, they have to say something funny or interesting. There has to be something memorable from that for us to sort of even want to work with them. And I think that's actually true for your colleagues as well. As you know, you've got to have some sort of camaraderie there to want to get in the trenches and do the hard work together and feel good about it.
And that shows why soft skills take somebody from being a manager to a leader. Because, and we've talked about this quite a bit on this show, but being a leader isn't a title. It means that people want to follow you. And very rarely do people want to follow somebody that's mechanical.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, so when you do soft skills training, it feels like a very sensitive kind of topic. Is that a one-on-one situation, or is that like a workshop with a room full of mechanical people?
So at the moment, they've all been like workshops with big groups. The smallest group I've had is probably about 6 people, and the biggest group's been about 42, which is quite a large number of people to sort of stay on time and make sure everyone has enough one-on-one time to take away what they want to from the session. But I think it's actually really nice to do soft skills training with other people because you don't practice your soft skills by yourself. You can't stand in front of a mirror and practice, building rapport or, managing relationships. So it's always nice to do it with other people and get their feedback at the same time and also see, get tips from them about, I really liked how they, how they told me that I was going to have to pay for that. We're doing a role play about, giving a client information about budgets and so on.
And I can imagine that there's a little bit of laughter that happens in the room. I have a lot of friends from Australia. I'm not saying anything, but I would imagine that you call them out a little bit. Do you like say, look, you're doing this?
Yes. There was one example that springs to mind, which was this really lovely gentleman. And it was a workshop about difficult conversations, and it was a role play, and everyone was in pairs. So, no one was listening to each other because they were all talking. So no one had to feel embarrassed about it. And they were doing this role play, and this guy basically had to tell a developer that he was no longer going to be working on the project because he couldn't deliver what they needed. And I was just listening in, and he got to the end and he hadn't told him. And I went over, I was like, The aim of this is to practice giving difficult, giving people difficult information in quite a safe setting. He said, "Yeah, but I didn't want to tell him that. I felt so bad about it." He's like, "This is a made up situation. You can't do it here." Maybe that one is more for one-on-one training. But yes, I do like to pull people out for their own benefit.
That is hilarious that he couldn't do it at a workshop.
Yeah, in a made up situation, but yeah, bless him.
Oh wow! Well, I would love at some point to get to sit in or at least watch one of the soft skills trainings, because we've talked about it quite a bit at the Bureau, and we've had at some of our events, some of our camps where we're having these conversations, we'll find that it's very rare for somebody to get fired because of a technical issue. It's almost always because of a soft skills issue. So it seems like it's great for everyone to address this, not just one time at a workshop, but in an ongoing manner.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I think one of the things that you see people struggle with and hold them back in their career is communication, which is, you know, they can do the job perfectly well, but they can't always explain what they're doing, when they're doing, why they're doing it to the people that need to know. And it's definitely something which you don't solve in a half-day workshop, but you can perhaps start to get some of the right tools and skills to develop it as you go on. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Now, you're going to be joining us at the Digital PM Summit, which is this October 15th through 17th in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you can blame me or you can thank me. I really don't care, but I chose Vegas.
I'm going to thank you then.
Well, good. And here's the part that I find hilarious. You're doing a workshop on money and we're going to be in Vegas. So, but I think this opportunity for this workshop is perfect. And I was never a digital project manager. I was by default when nobody was there. But I was always horrible with money and I could never, it seemed like we get to the end and if we had any left, we felt okay about it. But I'm just curious, what do you see happening in projects where the budget's involved that just seems to take things off the tracks?
Well, a little bit of what I'm going to chat about at the Digital PM Summit is not so much about budgets. I purposely called it money, 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 because it's a little bit more money-focused than budget-focused.
Okay.
And, you know, typically I think PMs, they do think about budget a lot. And obviously, you know, if we go back to the basics of what is a PM's job, it's, you know, scope, budget and time. But sometimes I think we get too hung up on the budget without having a bigger and better understanding of what does that mean in terms of money if we take it out of its silo of this project, and how do we understand what our budget means in terms of the profitability of our company. Or how do we understand and make decisions about if I give this part of the project away at a discount or for free, what does that mean in the future that I might have or not have, or how would that change how this project is delivered? So a lot of that is what I'm really interested in talking to project managers about, and also in sort of getting the message across that it's really okay to be proud of your commercial success. I think that a lot of project managers sort of feel like they, you know, they have to manage the budget to the exact budget, and normally it goes a little bit over and you have a tolerance. But it's almost like in digital, like we always feel like we have to give things away for free, and it's almost like it's not good to make profit when actually all of that stuff helps us reinvest in our people and training and develop our skills and better equipment and things like that. So that's a little part of it as well.
Now, do you find that that's a universal feeling across cultures that you've dealt with?
I found it a lot in digital, especially. And I think, I don't know what the reason is exactly. I think perhaps it's maybe that, you know, digital isn't always tangible. And so sometimes it's hard to equate it with a value, unlike a product that you can hold and buy and sell yourself or something like that.
Oh, that's really interesting. And, you know, at first I thought you were going to say that digital was its own culture, Because I've had this experience where when I meet people who are in this space, especially the digital services space, like I've met people from Croatia, I've met people from, you know, all over Northern Europe, I've met people from the UK, people from Asia. We all seem to have some of the same traits, even though our cultures are very different. And so it's interesting to me what you're saying right now, because I had never thought about that our product isn't necessarily tangible, and the impact that could have on people who come into this space it's kind of powerful.
Yeah. And especially when, you know, our clients aren't necessarily in the digital industry. And so the perception of value to them is, you know, also something that you've sort of got to educate them on and sometimes overcome even. So it's interesting to think about.
So the workshop's really about smart financial decisions then.
Yes.
And when you're looking at a project, and obviously there are many different types, and I know that you've managed like million-dollar projects. How do you prepare for that going into the project? How do you prepare to make those smart decisions?
For me, I think that's sort of about having a sense that's a little bit beyond the project. So another workshop I run, which is all about basically strategic planning, it's about understanding what your agency or your organization is interested in achieving from it, what your client is interested in achieving from it, what the project needs to achieve, and then what your team wants to achieve from it. And basically, you sort of find where the value is in each of those things. And I've sort of found over my years of managing projects that once you tend to follow what is the value that I'm providing, like what does this client really need, that's when you start to make smart financial decisions, because you're basing it on, you know, how do I best sell something to that person? How do I give them what they most need? And consequently, it helps you deliver a better project at a better margin or for more revenue, because, you know, you can sell them things which, you know, help them to realize the potential of the project or, you know, whatever it is they need to achieve or that they want from it.
This is bringing me back to soft skills, because along with understanding from the client's perspective what success is going to be for their business, they're also going to have some personal traits in there of like if it's risk tolerance or previous experiences working with a services firm or whatever it might be that they're going to bring to the table. So having those conversations up front is pretty important too.
Yeah, and I also think thinking about your clients as people as well, we sort of tend to think that once people go into business mode, they're almost like devoid of emotion and that they make really rational decisions all the time. Actually, they're still just people. And so sometimes you might have a client and what they really want from this project is for it to be, you know, delivered absolutely on time because they want to go and tell their boss so that they can get a promotion or something. So it's also understanding, you know, what's driving it at a personal level from your client.
Well, Petta, thank you so much for being on the Bureau Briefing with us today. And I'm excited to see you in Vegas, and I'm excited to join your workshop and learn more about smart financial decisions, because Lord knows I'm going to need them in Vegas.
I thought it was really fitting, actually. I hadn't clicked at the time. But yeah, I am so looking forward to being in Vegas. I think it's going to be fantastic. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And to everybody listening, we hope you'll join us too, and we'll talk to you soon.